Welcome to the OneUp Sales Development Podcast, a podcast for new and emerging revenue leaders, whether you're in sales, marketing, or customer success. We're here for one thing and one thing only, to drive revenue. This one goes out to all the hustlers out there on the phones, each and every day, slugging it out. Whether you're adding net new logos, expanding revenue from your sales base, or renewing existing accounts, it's all about working as one cohesive team towards one cohesive goal.
Cross-functional sales team!
So if you're new and you want to be a top funnel sales dev strategist, then you better put in the work and act like one. Digital marketing, act like one. Customer success, act like one. To be the bro, act the role. I'm your host, Jackson Lill, a top funnel revenue growth leader and an everyday frontline practitioner. This podcast is brought to you by the SDU community, Sales Dev
United. SDRs United.
Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the OneUp Sales Development Podcast. This is 2 years in the making, guys. 2 years in the making. This is something's huge, dear heart for me. And man, I am honored to have the next guest on today. So this guy, deep in the game, knowledge, expertise, skills, experiences, started at really at the as a head of sales development over at Citrix about 8 years ago, worked his way up the ranks. He is also an angel investor and advisor for Kali.ai, investor and advisor for Apollo Inc., investor for Candex, for Marpipe. Please give me a warm welcome for the one and only world-class builder, SDRs, BDRs, CEO of AltiSales, Tito Bort.
Woo! Man, I feel like I'm walking, you know, in the red carpet right now, like totally famous. Thanks for the intro, man. That was awesome.
Tito, oh my god. Okay, this is your show, man. This is your episode. I got nothing to do with it, but I just had to say, like we were chatting earlier, man, it is an honor to have you on this episode. I would never imagine having you on this podcast when I first heard your episode 2 years ago on David Delaney's podcast talking about SDR, remote life, you know, remote life, 100K plus, living in Iowa, Latin America, and just like living on a beach and just, you know, all that good stuff. And you look around today, remote option wasn't that popular back then. And there was a lot of people that was against it. And you look around it, you're like, hey, you're ahead of the game. So welcome to the OneUp Sales Development Podcast.
Thanks, man. It's kind of funny. Like you say it, you know, I started remote work life back in 2012, 2011. And here we are now 9 years later, everybody being forced to do it. A lot of people struggling with it. Some people breezing through it. We are knocking out of the park because remote is the name of the game for us. So I'm stoked to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Huge fan. And you know, remote work, like, and your philosophy behind it too. I remember you said it, look, the work you're really doing is, it's just behind a laptop or screen. So if you could take that anywhere with you, why can't that work option be remote? So I thought that was phenomenal.
That's right.
And here you are, name of the game, baby, ahead of the game. Oh, man. I mean,
for your audience, we should clarify this. You know, the David Delaney podcast a couple of years ago, here's what I said. I said, so I don't understand why there's companies in San Francisco raising money, $10, $15, $20 million, and then they go on to hire SDRs in San Francisco where cost of living is so high and taxes are so high that you gotta pay them 80K, 90K. They need to really be making 100K for them to be very comfortable. Otherwise, you're kind of like, you have a bunch of roommates. You can't be like married and be making 80K. Like it doesn't work. Like if you're gonna have a house and a kid, like you're dead in the Bay Area. Now, I was born and raised in Bolivia. I lived in Mexico and Costa Rica and Germany. I've traveled to 44 countries. Here's what I know to be true. My high school friends from Bolivia, if they're lucky, they make 20 grand a year in Bolivia. And these are like smart people. The cost of living is so low that with 20 grand as a 20-something year old, you're wealthy. If you make 30 grand, you're like knocking out of the park. You can have a wife and multiple kids, make 30 grand a year. You're rocking and rolling. So my idea from the start was, why the hell do I need to live in San Francisco? And the example I gave in that podcast was, you wouldn't pay somebody who's living in Iowa an 80 grand salary right out of college to be an SDR, because the cost of living is just so much lower in Iowa compared to San Francisco. So similar to moving from San Francisco to Iowa, the next step down in cost of living is moving from Iowa to Playa del Carmen or Tulum, Mexico, or moving to Costa Rica or moving to Colombia. The cost of living is so much lower. In a similar sense, you can just pay them 20, 30 grand a year, and 30 grand a year in Colombia feels like 100 grand in San Francisco. So you're all set. Get the hell out of the Bay Area. That's it.
There it is. I love it. Numbers don't lie, right? Numbers don't lie. And here we are today. And, you know, it's funny because, like what you just mentioned, why won't they just do that? I guess at a time, they would probably say, hey, company culture, we want people in person and stuff like that. But then again, there's a lot of variables. So that it is what it is, huh?
Yeah. Well, if you think that company culture can only be maintained by being in the office, I assume every company has destroyed their culture and everybody hates working there, because who's working in the office right now? I mean, everybody's remote, as far as I know. At least everybody that can be remote is remote. And I think like this year for us at AltiSales, it's been amazing. For a few months, our clients were like super scared, like, holy cow, pandemic, we're not going to sell anything. After a little while, we started getting a lot of inbounds from companies that can solve problems that are COVID related. And on top of that, because we were already a remote company, we didn't really see a dip for too long. For like 2 or 3 weeks, we had a dip in performance because like there was so much uncertainty in like March, early April. After that, we were cruising. Now everybody wants to come to us and everybody's still buying. People are just working from home. Like, you adapt. And now people are having to adapt. And we adapted in 2011. So we're cruising 9 years later. So go lucky, but
it worked out.
Success starts where, what is that saying? Skill meets opportunity, or luck is where skill meets opportunity. So maybe that's what happened to us. I don't know. I'm just grateful. Nice. Grateful to be where I am today. I'm luckier than most.
Yeah, I love it, man. And congratulations on the big win, by the way. I've been following AltiSales for quite some time. And I'm curious, how did you come up with that remote, like, fully for AltiSales? You know, because you're, out of everyone, you were, like, one of the first, I would say, full practitioner to come to that. Like, you said, hey, you know, if I start a company, it's all going to be remote. Bam.
Yeah, here's the crazy part. So I was in college, man. I wasn't even like out in the workforce yet. And back in 2011, and I met the CEO at a local company in Raleigh, North Carolina. I went to Duke, and he was a Duke alum, and he had a company called ShareFile, and they had what they call their lead generation team. And there was a bunch of kids right out of college that would come to the office, and they would have these fun games. Like everybody does it today. You have the ping pong table and you get people stoked every morning, and you do the morning huddle. You're like, yo, let's go, whatever. And then everybody gets on the desk and makes $100 a day, right? And then 100, 120, 160 sometimes, whatever it is, they would get meeting. You keep score, you have fun. But then like when I learned about that, I was like, wait a second. I had read this book called The 4-Hour Workweek, which then pointed me to another book called The World is Flat. And The World is Flat talks about outsourcing to somewhere in India, I don't remember, or some other place. And I said, well, this is phone work. Like, this isn't something that like you need to do in the US. Why don't you outsource to India? And they said, nah, you know, time zones, cultural connection, you know, who wants to set up in India, perceived as low quality, all these negative connotation. We don't want to risk it. We really want high control. But what I heard in that wasn't necessarily like anything other than we want American people that understand our culture and our values and can execute on the process we're building. And that same year, in 2011, I was lucky that during spring break, I took a bunch of my friends from college down to Bolivia for spring break, where my parents are based there. And we had a blast. And everybody said, dude, I want to come here after college. This is the best, most fun place to be ever. Like, everybody's so nice and friendly. And I want to move here. And there were no jobs. We're like, dude, you don't speak Spanish. You're not going to find a job in Bolivia without speaking Spanish. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Where are you going to work? We would need to have a remote job. And it was when I was talking to the CEO at ShareFile where that clicked. I said, wait a second. You don't want to do India. You want to do American people in US time zones. Bolivia's East Coast. Just, yo, all my friends want a job. Do you want to send them to Bolivia? And then I started doing the math, and it was just so cheap and so easy. And I was just, let's do it. So I dropped out of college, moved back to Bolivia, hired a bunch of people, and started an office there, making cold calls up to the U.S.
Damn. So selling
English-speaking people set up in Latin America, calling the U.S. via voice over IP, kind of like outreach, Twilio, whatever you want to call it. Just, Google, you know, voice. Dialing for dollars, having fun, enterprise deals, you know.
Dude, that's amazing. Getting your foot out there and really just starting it. And, you know, that's what really intrigues me about you most, Tito. You look like a smart dude. I think I read somewhere you're like, hey, school wasn't really for you or something. Was that right?
I feel like school didn't give me the education that I was expecting to get. So, like, I'd say up until high school, I always felt like school was a burden that was in between me and college. And then I was going to go to college and I was going to learn everything I wanted to learn about the world and sales and business. And I was going to be able to be a successful businessman and change the world. And then I went to college and I literally, yeah, whatever, took 34 classes total or 36 or whatever it was. And all those 36 classes, 9 were good and 27 were just absolutely a waste of time. Like, I didn't find much value, or at least for how much college costs. Like, I just, 9 classes were worth it, the rest were not. I graduated in the bottom 3% of my class. I think it was like 1657 students at Duke in my graduating class, and I was 1623, something like that, in the ranking. And I think there's about like 1.5% that doesn't graduate, so I don't know if I was like the lowest GPA to graduate in my class. I sometimes joke that I'm dyslexic, and I would say I had a 4.2 GPA, but it was more like a 2.4. So,
okay, that's fair. You know what I really love about you, Tito, is you have character. You know, you stand for something you believe in, and you stand for it behind it 100%. Not only that, you practice what you preach, and you know, if shit hits the fan, you eat it. And what I mean by that is, you know, I recently saw a YouTube video of you, and you know, it's talking about the same thing you're talking about today, the philosophy, and just being strategic in terms of sales and sales development, distribution, and just being remote. And that was 8 years ago. Yeah, I was like, oh shit, this guy's been preaching this since 8 years ago, man. Damn, this has gotta be one of the realest dudes out there in sales development. I got a lot of mad love, respect for, and you're part of my icon too. So man, thanks for coming on. Yeah. This is awesome, dude.
Yeah,
Tito. So I gotta ask you. You're the expert, man. You started out ahead of sales development, right? So, sales development, we all know it's constantly a fast moving chain, right? A lot of people come in. Hey, man. 22, 24, be it for like 14, 16 months, go AE out of the world, prospecting, fuck that, cold calling, fuck that, man, cold email, nah, screw that, man, AE, you know. That being said, it's a fast cycle, short, right? So what I mean by that is you have this group people come in, SDR, BDR, and then they move on, and then it's always constantly, like, every year is a new batch of people, fairly new. What's broken in sales development today?
Man, I see sales development like a sport, and it's like a badly managed team. So, like, let me ask you a question. Well, not let me ask you a question. Let me give you this example.
Yeah.
I think when LeBron James started his athletic career, he started as a basketball player, and he's still a basketball player today. He hasn't gone any role promotions. He's been a player the whole time. He rolls his sleeves and he does the hard work of getting buckets. Why do SDRs start a job and then want a role change, aka promotion? The only reason they want a role change promotion is because we as leaders have destroyed the role in many several ways.
Oh.
Number one, I'll give you an example. Same company, SDR base, 40K, OTE, 65K. AE base, 80K, OTE, 140K. Wait a second. Are you just telling me that if I'm an SDR, my OTE is lower than being an AE and having just my base? If I sell 0 deals throughout the year, I'll make more money as an AE than if I get tons of meetings as an SDR. What does that tell me? My job is not respected. Nobody gives a fuck about the job. I just need to get the promotion. I just need to be an AE. I'd rather be a crappy AE than a great SDR. That's what you're communicating. So what do SDRs want? They want to be AE because they learn about the salary. And they just learn about it, respect. And then the way it's set up is the AE decides what's qualified, what's not qualified. Well, that means you have, not only do you not have respect for the job or you're making less, you also have no opinion. Oh, that meeting that took you like weeks of following up to get a meeting, disqualified, wasn't good. You don't get paid on that. Screw that.
Oh my God.
I would quit that job too, man. Screw that. So here's how you do it right. Your SDR should have similar base than your AEs. Number one. Number two, if the meeting shows up, it's out of the SDR hands. The AE is responsible from the moment the meeting shows up. And what you gotta do is you can't just book anybody and everybody. Target accounts and buyer personas. You're gonna make sure you have the right target accounts and the buyer personas, and you're gonna make the SDR jobs even better. Your SDRs are never researching data. What do you mean my SDR is on Excel sheets or on CRM updating phone numbers and emails? I can hire somebody with a middle school degree and no high school degree to update data and pay him $20 an hour. They'll be stoked. Instead of working on my gym, you know, putting together the weights in the right position and cleaning up the windows, they would gladly work on a computer updating data. Teach them to type quick and they'll do a better job. They'll be stoked to have that job. And now you have a happy data researching employee. You have a happy SDR who doesn't need to data research. You can just make phone calls and have conversations. And then the AE and the SDR are tag teaming. There's rules of engagement. There's a sales level agreement, service level agreement between sales and sales development. And if the SDR thinks that the AE is ruining the meetings and just not handling the meetings properly, he can raise a flag and say, this AE is destroying my leads. He sucks. Bring me another one. And we should measure every AE on the percentage of meetings they move to pipeline. Yeah. I think AE should report to SDR.
Oh, shit. This is straight practical, man. Oh, my God. Yeah. 100. 100. Oh, my God.
We got to hold the whole go-to-market team accountable.
Yeah. No doubt.
We're a team. You know?
That's one of the biggest complaints, too. SDR and AE alignment. Hey, Tito, dude, I just passed three meetings to this guy, and I don't feel like he's doing shit, man. And it's just going down the pipe, you know? And there's miscommunication, a gap there, which is a huge problem when it comes to internal alignment and stuff, too. But my goodness, everyday frontline practitioner right there from Tito Bort.
Yeah. I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes I get a client or two that comes back and tells me, Tito, this quarter, your team didn't do great work. We got all the meetings that you promised and more, but they haven't moved to pipeline. Or they haven't moved to like stage four or to POC. Oh, and I go and say, wait a second. I've been telling you your AEs are not doing a good job for months. And you told me that you don't want training because you're all set.
Yeah.
I don't move stuff to pipeline. That's your AE. You want to review their deals? What are you talking to me about?
Tito, oh my God. This is amazing. I know we have a hard stop coming up in just a short minute here, and I want to show for respect to your time, you know, but I just have like a final question for you just before we wrap up. And really, honestly, like, what is your love and passion for sales development? Why sales development? Because I too myself am like an SDR lifer, and I see that in you too as well, and I actually got part of that from you. But what is it about sales development that drives you?
Man, I think here's what's up, right? I think people get passionate about things they're good at. Like when I was a kid, I was really, really good at math. Just came easy to me. So I became really good at it. And I do very quick math in my head, just super quickly. And I love math. I love math more than history because I'm really bad at memorizing stuff. I'm really good at understanding concepts and principles and doing stuff like that. So I mean, it's kind of like asking LeBron James why he likes basketball and then asking Cristiano Ronaldo why he likes soccer. I mean, tried to get Messi playing basketball. He's too short. He just won't be able to do it well. He's so good at soccer that why would you have him play basketball? You know, like, I love sales development. I'm really good at it. I enjoy it. And I would also say I'm good at account executive work too. I myself have sold just at AltiSales over $6 million in revenue. Myself. By myself. Damn. No other agent. I've sold every little deal, including an over $1 million deal to a Fortune 10 company and several 500K deals to many other companies. Now, what I still do love more the SDR lifestyle than the AE lifestyle. Why? I hate end of quarter pressure. I want to manage my own schedule. I want to work whenever I want to. I want to start late or start early if I want to. And the only way to do so is sales development. If you're sales development, you can travel anywhere you want. You can work from anywhere you want. You're fine. You want to take Christmas through New Year's off? Take it off. If you're an AE, you're screwed. December 31st, like from New York City, waiting for the ball to drop. Hey, can you sign the deal? I'm going to send it via DocuSign. Oh my God. Screw that. I hate account executives with quarterly quotas that finish. You got to close a quarter. And then you don't get feedback. You know, you feel you've done a great job as an AE. And then you're like, I'm going to close this deal. 3 months later, you thought you were going to get it and they don't close. And you're like, why didn't I close it? Nobody can teach you. Nobody can tell you why. As an SDR, I cold call. I'm like, hey, you know, this is Tito calling from XYZ. They're like, oh, fuck off. I'm like, okay, great. Let's analyze that call. What did I say wrong in those 10 seconds? Because there's only 10 seconds worth of meetings. Well, as an AE, I have 7 hours worth of meetings with a client before they said no. Where in those 7 hours did I mess it up? Or was it even my fault? Like, maybe they just, I don't know. As an AE, I don't get feedback. I love feedback. I love getting better. That's why I love sales development.
Love it. Feedback, reverse engineer, accountability, and just being in full control, it sounds like.
That's right. That's right, my man.
My God. Tito, thank you again so much. It's unfortunate we have to cut this short, but no worries. Perhaps maybe next time. If there's anyone out here who'd like to just reach out to you, you know what? That's disrespect to ask that because you're already out there, man. People.
On LinkedIn. Add me on LinkedIn. Follow me on LinkedIn. That's the best place to be.
I feel messed up for asking you that, man. That's disrespect.
Nah. It's all good, man. LinkedIn is a place to find Tito Board. Go find me there. I'm very interactive and fun online, dude. People comment on my stuff or whatever. I'll comment back. I'll give you insights. I used to respond to every individual DM that I got. Nowadays, I don't do that because 90% of them are just spam that are coming from like, I see we have friends in common. Would you be open to learning more about X? I'm like, no. But yeah, if you send me a invite request that says, saw you on the, you know, podcast, one up sales dev, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Let me know and I'll accept. We can chat. Happy to be here. Thank you again.
Fantastic. And you know what, Tito, just for that, I got to hit you with one more question. That's all right.
Yeah.
New SDR, BDR, new to the game, just gotten in the game. If they want to be a hardcore go-to SDR like how you are, what would you recommend them or give advice to?
Man, I'll give you some tips because like I think I have a very particular style.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things I know I share openly and freely. So if you just Google my name on Google, you can start finding my SDR compensation structure, SDR to AE handoff, territory mapping. Like I have all these blogs that I put together out there for free for anybody to check on. If you're an SDR, you're gonna be really good at SDRing, go on YouTube, type my name, and I have the sales development cold calling training video series. I have like 8 or 10 videos. They're excellent for people to learn about cold calling and how to get better. And don't be afraid of the phone, man, especially during a pandemic. I'm getting 300% more email today than I was getting 6 months ago. I don't respond to it. You got to get my attention via LinkedIn. Some people might be texting me already and stuff like that. Maybe that's totally fine. I don't know. Be innovative. Try things out. Don't be afraid of the phone. And yeah, and best of luck.
There it is. Thank you, guys. And Tito, there it is for the One Up Sales Development Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on, showing your love, and dropping bombs for the sales dev community. We appreciate you, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.